This is Riley. We got this picture the other day. This is our granddaughter. Does she look like she's got any guilt? Nope. She's about 4.5 months old, and if she does something wrong, she doesn't know it. She's just going through life. She's hoping someone is going to be smart enough to feed her, change her, pay attention to her. And if she does anything wrong, she doesn't know it. She just has this sense of innocence. We can't go back to being 4.5 months old, but we can claim innocence after forgiveness. We can be innocent after the forgiveness has been given. So we can kind of go there. Just this one, two verses from his reading. 18 and 19, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. Okay, so he's saying, listen, I know that in my flesh, in my life, in my humanness, in my basic cardinal nature, there is sin. There is sin. Paul says, you know, I got it. I know that. I understand that. There is sin galore in my cardinal nature. I can will. I can think. I can desire. I can hunger. I can will what is right. But I can't do it. I can conceive in my own brain, in my own heart, in my own mind. I can put all this God stuff together, and I can think about and try to figure out what the will of God might be for me in this particular instance. But you know what? I do not do the good I want to do. But the evil that I do not want is what I do. Oh, who's been? Don't raise your hand. Who's been there? Holy cow, you kidding me? This is the crux of the human condition. The human condition simply says that human nature wrestles constantly with good and evil. Sin and righteousness. Every single day I deal with it. Every single day you deal with it. But then a little voice in your head this morning says, hey, you know what? It'd be a great day. It's so pretty outside. It'd be a great day to take the boat out. It'd be a great day to go play golf. It'd be a great day to just go get the paper and read it on the back porch. It'd be a great day to go get some breakfast early in the morning and just, you know what? Oh, church, who needs it? Because he's just talking about all that guilt stuff, and I'm not guilty of anything. So let's just go have fun instead of going to church. That's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is come and present yourself before God in worship. I can will what is right, but sometimes, you know, the good I want to do, but I do what I think is sinful and wrong. Because my human nature is such that I will wrestle with good and evil, and many, 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 many times, intentionally, evil will win, or sin will win. And sometimes unintentionally, of course, too, sin wins. Because we make mistakes, we mess up. We do all of that. There's just something in our wiring that when it comes to temptation, sometimes we say, yeah. And that's the crux of the human condition. That's what we wrestle with. So at the end of this whole mess, back and forth, because he kind of states it several times in that long reading. He finally just says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Holy cow, this is terrible. I can't do what I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do, but I know the things I'm supposed to do, but I just can't do. Oh, no, are you kidding me? I feel so guilty. He said, I just feel so guilty. I feel the guilt. It's in my stomach. It turns like a knot. It makes me sick. It keeps me away from other people. It keeps me from socializing. It keeps me from going to church. It just makes me want to lock myself away in my house and not see other people, not communicate with other people. I don't even want to talk to God about it. It just like eats me alive because I just can't get rid of it. What a wretched man I am. Well, guess what? As part of the human condition is that we wrestle with good and evil, And when sin wins, then sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we don't right away. Sometimes someone has to tell us. So we're going to look at two types of guilt. Now, you know that dog did something. You know he did something. Condemnation. Condemnation. This is not good guilt. This is dangerous guilt. It is the basis for dangerous, bad guilt. It is condemning. It is a form of relentless self-condemnation. I just continue to tell myself, what a loser I am. I'm too fat. I'm too this. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said this. I. What a loser, 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 loser. It is a tool of someone who sits on my shoulder, has a little red pitchfork, long curly tail, whispers in my ear, and continues to lie to me in my relationship to God. He says, you know what? You need to run from God because you're not good enough to be loved by God. God couldn't love anyone like you. God can't love someone who's done what you've done. God can't love someone who loves what, who thinks the way you think. You know, you're just a piece of junk. You need to get out of here. You need to run from God as fast as you can. You remember a couple years ago, when you were doing this, yada, yada, on and on. Yeah, see, you remember? And that's just like it was last week, isn't it? See, you don't ever change. You're just like that all the time. You should be so ashamed of yourself, on and on. And that little voice just runs and never stops. That's not healthy. That's not good at all. And Paul said, man, what a wretched man I am. This voice just won't stop. It just eats me alive. What a wretched man I am. But Paul says, let's rethink this a minute, Paul. Paul's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Listen, I'm good. That's another sermon. Don't go there. He says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore, which is kind of a goofy way to say that, isn't it? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So if Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I live my life to honor the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me, knowing that I also honor my Savior and I live a life that models that, and then when I do mess up, because I mess up a lot, when I mess up, I say, oh no, again, are you kidding me? Father, I just need you to forgive me. I've done it again. I thought something I shouldn't think. I rolled my eyes when I wasn't supposed to roll my eyes, and then again, kind of implied something, and da-da, and on, and I just need you to forgive me. So if He's my Lord and Savior, don't you see there is no condemnation coming from Him? There is no condemnation coming from Him. So where does a condemnation come from?
Right here. Right here. Right here.
Got a little perch. Feels right at home, sitting right here. There's no condemnation. Holy Spirit does not condemn you. Holy Spirit does not whisper in your ear what a loser you are. Holy Spirit does not say to you, God doesn't love you. You're not worthy of God. Holy Spirit would never say those words. Never, never, never. So those who do not walk according to the flesh, still using his same wording, but according to the Spirit. And there is no condemnation by the power of the Spirit of God. So when that little thing is sitting on my shoulder and running those tapes in my head, I just need to stop it. I need to give those thoughts back to where they came from. And you know where they came from? They came straight out of the pits of hell. They came right from the little guy that sits in my ear. And I need to stop it and give those back to him. They are not mine. They do not belong to me. They're not mine. If I'm just so just obsessed with them for years and years and years and years and years and years, then I got to give them back. They're not mine. And I turn to God. Now, when I turn to God, is He surprised? No. He's waiting. He's waiting for me to flick him off my shoulder and come running to God. He's just waiting for me. He's just waiting for me. Conviction. Good guilt. Good guilt. It is the basis for good guilt. It comes straight from the Holy Spirit. It is a form of relentless, divine, and self-forgiveness. So conviction sets me free. And it's a good thing. It can be a good thing. Because I said something the other day, and I just kind of saying something in jest or saying something I thought was in humor. And then I you know, we kind of went our ways. And then this person wrote me this nasty email. At least I thought it was kind of nasty email. And it's how hurt they were by what I said. I thought, ooh, seriously? And I started getting this thing in my gut. It's like, oh my gosh, did I really do that? Are you kidding me? And then the Holy Spirit starts to reveal to me, yeah, you moron. You rolled your eyes. You made a face. You said something so stupid. I can't believe you did it. Over and over you do that. Holy cow, are you serious? Yes. Well, nuts. Oh, nuts. Darn it! I gotta go fix it. And we're gonna talk about that. It's a tool of the Holy Spirit. Gets me to run to God. When that little knot starts to form, when my little wheels start to turn, I start, Holy Spirit saying, hey, guess what? I think you did it again. And you need to take care of this. You need to take care of this. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are a precious son of the Father in heaven. Your brother is a king. Your brother is Lord of lords and kings of kings. Your brother is Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. You are saved. He died, and he would have died only for you if you were the only person on earth. He loves you. He cherishes you. He just waits for you to come to him and talk to him. So go to him and tell him how you feel, because you are incredibly valuable to Jesus Christ. That's the message that the Holy Spirit sends to you when you say, oh, I feel so guilty. What do I do? God, come on, man. And he sends those messages saying, here's the steps I want you to do. Here's how you take care of this. But you are so precious in the eyes of God. So precious in the eyes of God. Don't mess this up. You're just so precious in the eyes of God. We'll work through this guilt thing together. We're going to work through it together. Paul said, who's going to rescue me from this mess? Praise be to God in Jesus Christ. So, when it comes to dealing with guilt, how do we go from here to there? That is a happy dog. That's a happy dog. It's an ugly dog, but he's a happy one. Well, we're going to try and do these four things. You ready? Here we go. We're going to face guilt honestly. What? Yes. Can't face it dishonestly. What did I do? What did I say? What did I not say? What did I not do? And especially when that little feeling starts to turn in your stomach and run in your brain. It's like, whoa, wait a minute now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Did I really mess up? I mean, what's really going on here? Did I mess up? Geez, I didn't mean to. I mean, it didn't mean to say the way I said it. It could have been said better maybe, or maybe I should have said something when I didn't say something. But for heaven's sakes, did I do this? And Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, you know, I'm thinking I got a 50-50 shot that when I start to think about the way I'm feeling, is that the result of sin with some other individual or group of individuals? I got a 50-50 shot that's going to be what? Yeah. Actually, it's probably closer to 99 to 1%. But well, we'll just leave it 50-50 because it sounds so much nicer. Am I truly guilty? That's the question. Am I really guilty? Are these feelings real? Yes. Are they appropriate? Did I really, really mess up? And the Holy Spirit's going to say, yes. Or he's going to say, no, not so much. This is just some of that old stuff that plays around your head all the time. No, you're okay. Or, yeah, you really did. You're still going to be okay. What kind of guilt is it? Is it condemnation? If it is, give it back. Don't belong to you. Give it back. Repent. God, I'm sorry, man. Been dealing with this the wrong way. I'm sorry. And then handle it like it was conviction guilt. And conviction guilt, we embrace its worth. Its worth, yes, it is invaluable because it is the power and the presence of God speaking to me about something I'm wrestling with and I'm dealing with. And what could be more valuable in my life than the presence and the power of God actually speaking to my thick brain? What could be more powerful and worthy than that, more valuable than that? So if it's conviction, I'm going to embrace its worth, and I'm going to embrace its source, because it comes straight from God. It just comes straight from God. I'm going to confess and repent to God and to the individual or individuals. I'm going to confess it and repent of it. This is Psalm 51. Stick with me. You may not agree with all of this, so stick with me. Supposedly, this is written by David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your what? Unfailing love. What did he just say? He says, your love is unfailing towards me, and so I need your mercy. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Why? Because it is the reflection, it is the result, it is the nature of your compassion to forgive me. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Because I got a lot of it, and you're the only one that can do it. So do it for me, please. For I know my transgressions. I know what I did. The Holy Spirit's telling me what I did. With a little guy on my shoulders trying to convict me that I did something that maybe I didn't do and take me even worse, into a worse position. So my transgressions are always before me. My sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned. Oh, wait, what? What did David say? Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So, Bubba and I are having a conversation. And he says something. And I say something I thought was kind of humorous. But I can tell by the look on his face, he didn't see the humor in that. And he's deeply hurt. He's deeply insulted. And he's filled with anguish by what I've said, and then we separate our ways, and off he goes. Was it a sin to say something stupid to Bubba and hurt him? Yes. Who forgives that sin? Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ forgives my sins. Can Bubba forgive? Be careful. Can Bubba forgive my sin? No. Bubba did not die on the cross for me. Jesus died on the cross for me. My sin of saying something harmful to Bubba is only forgiven by the blood of Christ. So where does that put Bubba? That puts me going to Bubba and saying, listen, you know, the other day when we were talking, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said. It was a poor example of humor, and I know it torqued you right out of shape, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Only thing Bubba can forgive me of is my stupidity in what I said. Not the sin. The sin's covered by the blood of Christ. I just need him now to forgive me of hurting him, forgive me of causing him to suffer. The sin is against God. The only one who can forgive me is Christ. He's the only one who can forgive me of my sin in being stupid and saying something wrong to Baba. He can embrace my apology and embrace me and forgive me for the hurt and for the damage of the sin. Of the sin. So I have to confess and I have to repent to God and to him. To both. And then number four, I have to choose, that implies I have a choice. I have to choose to embrace God's forgiveness. I have to choose that. And you say, well, if you're a Christian, doesn't seem like it'd be such a big deal, does it? Now, stick with me. John 3:16 and 17. You ever realize that John 3:16 is like just not complete without 17. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him, embraces him as Lord and Savior, okay, believes in him, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, may not spend eternity separated from God, but may have eternal life with God. That eternal life comes as a result of my forgiveness of sin brought by the redeeming blood of Christ. God did not send him to condemn Kip Younger every time Kip Younger does something stupid. He did not send Jesus to condemn Kip Younger every time he says something he shouldn't say, does something he shouldn't do, or doesn't say, or doesn't do, or just thinks things they shouldn't be. He did not send Jesus to condemn Kip Younger. He sent Jesus to save Kip Younger. He sent Christ to die and let his blood cover the sins of Kip Younger. And if Kip Younger really believes that, then he begins to realize, in the eyes of God, he's no longer guilty. He's no longer guilty. I've confessed the sin. I've fallen on my face before God. I said, listen, it's number 627 this week, and I'm here again, and the sin has been confessed, and he died, shed his blood for me to confess the sin. It's been forgiven. If I am forgiven, I am in a new state of innocence. Yes, remember Riley, new state of innocence. I told you we can go back there. I'm in a new state of innocence. I'm not guilty anymore in the eyes of God. Now, what about in the eyes of Kip? Well, that's a whole different story, isn't it? Somehow, I have to go from the point of embracing what Christ did and receiving that and allowing his blood to cleanse me of that sin and free me of its guilt to no longer feeling guilty. Now, does that mean I'm not remorseful? Of course not. Of course I'm remorseful. Does that mean I haven't learned anything? Well, you got a 50-50 shot there too. But yeah, more than likely I've learned something from all of that. And so, you know, damage was caused by sin. Sin's been forgiven. I'm not guilty of the sin any longer, and I don't need to feel the guilt. But I need to learn something. I need to know how to handle my guilt. I know that I need to know how to handle situations like that much better. And yes, I do still feel remorseful because it was not my intention. Sometimes it is. Then I need to be real remorseful to hurt Baba. It's just the way it came out. I'm sorry. Or maybe I said it intentionally that way to hurt him. I'm still sorry because it was stupid and it was sinful and it was just plain wrong. 17 says, if I confess him, I am not guilty. And I don't need to take that guilt anymore. I can release it. To whom? Holy Ghost. Who lives where? Right there, where the guilt is. If anyone does sin, this is 1 John. We have an advocate with the Father, is Jesus, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for Kip Younger's sin, by golly. And not only for Kip Younger's, but for all of yours too. He is the atoning sacrifice for my guiltiness in sin. And he sets me free of it. All I got to do is figure out how to do the same. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. How's that going to happen? We're still in the Easter season. And so we're still calling on the resurrection power of God to come and bring new life into what sin is killing. So resurrection power is new life where death prevails. If I'm not careful, my guilt, if it's condemning, it's just sucking the life out of me. It's killing me because I just dwell on it. It's killing me. And so I have to let the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me bring that resurrection power into my life and turn that condemnation into conviction and just be confessed of it and be free of it and be remorseful, yes, and learn from it, yes, of course, but somehow get my act together and move on. Because tomorrow's a new day. There'll be plenty of sin for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. And I live by the power of Christ, the resurrection power of Christ, to heal me, to set me free. Does it happen overnight? No, not usually. It takes a while to convince myself that I'm really forgiven. And it takes a while for that sickening feeling to go away. And it takes a while for the tears to stop. But the Holy Spirit brings new life. And that new life heals those feelings and restores us. We don't have to look like that. We can look like that. Happy, forgiven, dealt with the guilt, ready to move on to a new day, a new day. That is possible. That is possible. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. That is possible. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. The ease, I suppose, depends upon my conviction and belief of 3:16 and 17 and the pain of the guilt that'll move me forward and help me through it just that much easier. Pray with me, please. We love you so much. Man, we just don't understand you all the time, that's for sure. Because we don't understand how you can love us and forgive us and help us to deal with the thoughts and the feelings we have inside of us when we know we've done things that we wish we hadn't done, obviously. And we want to be free of them. We don't want to carry this stuff around. Because we can't go back and fix it. We can't go back years and years and years and fix stuff. We can only deal with it today. By you and by your incredible power and your incredible love to transform our lives. The old is gone, then a new has come. Let it come to us today. Whatever we're convicted of by the Spirit of God, let us confess it. Be forgiven. Let the guilt be released. And then help the Spirit help us. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.